Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Howdy, what's going on? Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. It is heard live every day, by the way, from noon until 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. This podcast is also supported by North Carolina businesses, so please consider supporting them. Try not to skip through their short ad. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And thanks so much for your support. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, hour number two, Pete Callender Show, 704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. Yeah. Good news. We have identified the car used in the DNC pipe bombing attempt. Remember that? I mean, it's been a while. It's been a minute or so, but yeah, it was January 6th. Remember? Somebody planted some pipe bombs at the Democrat National Committee and the Republican National Committee headquarters on January 6th. So they apparently have identified, the FBI identified the car. Like a while ago. Like almost immediately, apparently. And they don't want to tell anybody what the car is, which is weird, kind of weird, a little weird, right? Tristan Justice at the Federalist reporting, quote, the FBI is continuing to stonewall congressional oversight of the agency's investigation into a pair of pipe bombs found at the DNC and the RNC on January 6th. House Republicans this week on the Judiciary Committee re-upped their demands for a comprehensive briefing on the two-year-old case over which the FBI has refused transparency. Earlier this month, an FBI whistleblower told the Washington Times that the Bureau had identified the vehicle that the suspect entered shortly after planting the bombs, but the FBI has not pursued the individual. It's kind of weird. It's weird, I think. Washington Times reports, quote, the FBI had surveillance video that showed the person entering a car with a visible license plate after exiting a metro stop in Northern Virginia. Former FBI agent who worked on the case, named Kyle Serafin, told the paper that the agency tied whoever the person was that dropped the bombs with the cameras. They tied him with those cameras all the way through the train and getting into a car, and they got a license plate. Now, the two bombs, quote unquote, were inoperable. Julie Kelly, a senior writer at American Greatness, wrote, quote, as the FBI successfully rounded up hundreds of capital trespassers using sophisticated tools like geofence warrants, the trail of the pipe bomber went cold, despite federal law enforcement having posted a $50,000 reward and then later increased it to $500,000. Ooh, you put a $500,000 reward on somebody, man, you're really wanting to catch him, right? Well, then why aren't you really trying to catch him? If you got the license plate number and you got the car, what's the deal with that? Lawmakers gave the FBI until June 7th to give them a briefing. In a sort of related case here, we do know that a neo-Nazi named Sai Varshith Kandula, a well-known neo-Nazi type of name, 19 years old, attacked the White House and just had his charges downgraded. So the alleged neo-Nazi accused of ramming a rented U-Haul truck into the White House security barriers. It's going to be held in federal jail pending a detention hearing next week. Sai Varshith Kandula, 19, appeared in a Washington, D.C. federal court where Magistrate Judge Robin Merriweather ordered he be jailed until a hearing next Tuesday. Kandula, from Missouri, but not really, slammed the box truck that he had just rented upon arrival in D.C., slammed the truck into barriers along Lafayette Square just steps from the White House late Monday. He had allegedly planned the attack for 6 months. So, all right, first, so Mr. Kandula, just moving forward, I don't know what will become of you, what your fate here is going to be, but I would just submit to you that if this was your plan and it took you 6 months to develop this plan, you should definitely not look to go into this line of work. This is obviously not a strong suit for you. Because as far as I know, according to what he told authorities after he was arrested, his plan was to get to the White House, seize power, and be put in charge of the nation. Okay, so I want to make sure I've got this right. Step one, I guess, is you fly to Washington from Missouri. Okay, so you fly to D.C. and rent a U-Haul. Then you drive to the White House, and then you ram the bollards, right? The security posts that they have like stuck in the ground, the concrete, yeah, the blockades. Your idea is to rent a box truck, which, like, as far as ramming vehicles go, I'm not sure a box truck is the best truck to do that with. But if you're going to ram with a box truck, I would submit you probably want to do it in reverse, right? Did that make more sense? Because you hit it the first time, which is what happened. He rammed into these things, and then you do a whole bunch of damage, and that's the engine right there. And then it starts smoking, and he was able to put it in reverse, and then he tried to hit it again, and then it just died, so he got out. And that was the plan. So step one, fly to D.C. Step two, rent the U-Haul and drive it to the White House and ram the White House. Then that would be what? Step four, something. And then step five, seize power and get put in charge of America. So perfect plan. Perfect plan. I mean, aside for step four, I'm not really sure what that part was, like how you ram the bollards and then you seize the power. There seemed to be a bit of an operational gap right there. So he was originally charged with threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member, as well as assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, trespassing, and destruction of federal property. His federal charges, though, have since been downgraded to a single count of depredation of property of the United States in excess of $1,000. I mean, it's good to see, at least. Like, it's not just us, you know, regular Joe Blow citizens that are getting victimized by people that are getting let out with, you know, mere slaps on the wrist. It's also apparently the president. If somebody is attacking the White House with a box truck with a terrible plan, I guess it's good that they, too, are going to suffer very, very limited repercussions. Now, I will say he is not a U.S. citizen, this fella, not a U.S. citizen. Despite being stopped by the security barrier, he told investigators he was successful because he had hoped to send a message. Classic conspiracy theorist right there, right? Even when he fails, that's proof of his success. He allegedly said he knew he was going to get arrested, but it would get him publicity. Kandula allegedly went on to praise Nazism for its great history and their authoritarian nature, eugenics, and their one world order. And when asked if he looked up to any leaders, he answered, Hitler, because he was a strong leader. There seems to be an uptick in the number of non-white white supremacists. Have you noticed that? It's very weird. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Talking about the property tax.
Yeah.
A little historical perspective. I've been here about 70-something years. They've turned the property tax, Pete, into an income tax, essentially. I call it a phantom income tax. You go back 50 years ago, basically they reassessed about maybe every 12 years. Well, as you can see now, in the last 20, 25 years, they've reduced that down to as small as every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Or if the market goes crazy, if it's even more, if the market gets superheated, they could do it even more regularly than that, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But I'm in the process of appealing mine, as I have every time I've gotten one of these. And I was told by the appraiser that I'm working with right now, he only reviews the last 12 months as of the 12/31/22 ending year of the appraisal cycle. That's the appraisal cycle year. The government's actual county and state financial year ends in June 30 each year. So he said, I said, you're going to go back 4 years, aren't you, to determine your comparable transactions? He said, no, it's only the last 12 months of 12/31/22, further refining my humble opinion that the property tax has basically been converted to an income tax. But it's a phantom income, Pete. Your property may have gone up in value. Have you got all that money sitting in your bank account somewhere?
Yeah, I would
probably not.
No, I'd say it's probably more of like an imputed value tax, right?
Then, Pete, I think I heard you say you understood the government had to raise all this money. Well, I contend no, they don't, Pete. In the year 2000, the state budget of North Carolina first excess the $10 billion level.
Mm-hmm.
This year, right now, as we speak, we're looking at $30 billion at the state level of budget. And so in the last 20 years, essentially, the state budget has gone up, should I say, 200% or 300%. My income's not up 200 or 300% in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but your income tax rate has been cut by the state in that same period.
Well, that's what they would say, Pete.
Well, it's
but
true.
I contend, being a lifelong North Carolinian, as the total tax structure this state assesses and counties is permitted to collect, the taxes are right up there in the top tier of any state in this country. Okay?
I don't know what you're including in that and what you're comparing it to.
Well, 7% sales tax, for example. If you go back just to the year 2000, that was around 4-5%. When Terry Sanford started it back in the early 60s, I'll offer education, it started at 2%.
So the state sales the state sales tax is not 7%.
No, it is 4.75%, but
right.
Each county does a minimum of 2, with certain of the big counties all the way up now to 2.25 and 2.5, a la Wake and Mecklenburg.
Sure.
And even prepared food can take it above 8 now.
Sure.
Especially in Charlotte, Mecklenburg.
Right.
So we add all these things up, and the government, in this infinite wisdom, needs 2 or 3 times as much money in the last 20 years to give you back, Pete, you, the populace, what you need, i.e. $100 million school campuses, which are becoming very prevalent.
Okay, all right. Jim, we're all over the place. I'm way late for a traffic break. I appreciate the call. Okay, government spends too much. All right, now you've heard me talk about them. Old Grouch's Military Surplus. They're expanding with more ways to get your hands on authentic U.S. military surplus items. Go to oldgrouch.com. Check out the links for the online auctions for rare finds and the vintage shop. Unique, really cool items from modern tactical gear to historical collectibles. Tim at Old Grouch's is always finding new stuff. When I started the podcast at the beginning of the pandemic, my first advertiser was Old Grouch's. If you enjoy the show and derive any value from it, I'm hoping that you will consider supporting one of the businesses that make it possible. Lots of gift ideas for that person who loves the military style for fashion or decor. There really is something for everyone at Old Grouch's Military Surplus in beautiful downtown Clyde and online at oldgrouch.com. Email is pete@thepetecallinershow.com. I do have some emails to get to. Did not mean to cut Jim off. I wasn't sure. I mean, aside from just a very generalized rant about the cost of government and spending and all of the taxes, I didn't think that there was. I like Jim. I've known Jim for years. I didn't get a sense of a focus, you know, of where we were going. And so I was like, I gotta pull the ripcord. I'm 2 minutes late for the traffic anyway, and it was just going on. But like a general rant about the price of government, the cost of government at all of the various levels. Yes, I agree. I don't know, but I don't know what else to say about that. I guess my point was a more specific point about the preference of user taxes versus other forms of taxation, and my very general point was about people ordering themselves in society in order to provide for common defense, for example. We order ourselves in society. Human beings have been doing this from the very beginning. And when you find the mechanisms to do things like provide for the common defense, for example, right, there are ways that you can go about taxing for those things. And as a society becomes more wealthy because they are more secure, because that's what it's all about, you create the umbrella of security, you're able to then engage in free economic activity, and everybody prospers, right? That's the idea. And, you know, the common defense is to prevent yourself from being invaded by foreign hostiles and to then also police and exact justice and make sure people are all following the rule of law and so they're not taking matters into their own hands and killing each other in the streets without evidence, right? That's the most general concept. And Jim's argument is that all of that stuff, they've gone way overboard. They do way too much and government costs too much. Oh, I agree. Government does too much. I am a limited government guy. So let me see here. This is John on the user tax. I agree with the toll lanes if they pay for themselves, but if tax money is used, then everyone has already paid for that road and should be able to use it. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I agree. If you're going to say like with the private companies and such that say, hey, we'll build the road, but then we get to, you know, reap the rewards of this this toll lane revenue. I don't generally, again, without knowing specific details of every single specific case, but the general concept, I'm okay with that. I got a couple of. Oh, some people are asking about the vehicle, the bomber vehicle. Was it Joe Biden's Corvette? No, it was not. But here's, oh, good. Thank you, Joseph. He sent a picture. Here is the picture of the vehicle. It is a green van with no windows, late model. And it says, Flowers by Irene. Flowers by Irene. Or by acronym, FBI. Well, that makes sense. Oh, hey, real quick, before I forget, Carolina Readiness Supply is prepping for its annual Heritage Life Skills event. It's coming up in July, and you can learn how to be better prepared and self-sufficient in the event of any emergency. Things like homesteading, canning, water storage, radio communications, herbal remedies, home defense, fermenting vegetables, all sorts of stuff. This is what Carolina Readiness Supply does. For beginners all the way to the most experienced preppers, Carolina Readiness Supply can help. Get your tickets now at CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? That's not really Elon Musk following me on Twitter. That's so wrong. All right, 704-570-1110. By the way, if you would like to follow me on Twitter, I try to follow everybody back that I think is a real person. So this person's not getting a follow back, but I try to follow everybody back. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, at Pete Kaliner, and that's Kaliner with a K-A-L-I-N-E-R. As I like to say, Twitter is where we do the wet work, a.k.a. gutting people, a.k.a. trolling. I do a fair amount of trolling. But it's all in good fun. It's to drag the dumbasses. That's what we do. Like that's it. That's it. I am there to disrupt narratives that others are attempting to calcify. Right? When you see a story, it's breaking, and they're like everybody's rushing to write the narrative, the first draft of history, and you get the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, that are all like, this is the story. And then I am there to leave a proverbial floater in a punch bowl to say, that's not the real story. You guys are doing this. And then I mock them. And then sometimes it actually works. If you can get enough traction, it actually disrupts the cycle. It's pretty fun. Oh, that's right, too. I forgot. Yeah. So here's a message on the Twitter machine. It's a Pete tweet from Kay Kelly. Don't forget, Pete, that if you are a law enforcement officer, you have to display the Nazi swastika flag that you pulled out of the U-Haul. Got to display it on the ground for the media to photograph, just like the classified top secret files from Mar-a-Lago. Probably just a coincidence. That's true. The guy that they pulled out of the U-Haul truck, what's his name? Saeed Varshith Kandula. Not an American citizen, 19 years old. Apparently, Saeed Varshith Kandula is a neo-Nazi white supremacist and rented the U-Haul, rammed it into the White House, then ran around the back, opened up the back of the truck, and pulled out a Nazi flag and laid it on the ground so everybody could photograph it. So everybody knows. And I think this coincidentally happened right at the same time Joe Biden was saying that white supremacy is the number one threat. And then we had the FBI guys with the blue polo shirts and the khakis covering up the faces, marching around D.C. as well. So there's that. Oh, and then there's this. This is quite the interesting story. The Biden administration is doling out taxpayer money through an anti-terrorism grant initiative to a university program that has explicitly lumped the Republican Party, as well as Christian groups and conservative groups, into the same category as Nazis. So once again, the Biden administration, using taxpayer money, funding this, quote, anti-terrorism grant initiative. Okay, so it's basically, give me a bunch of your money. I'm just kidding. It's print a bunch of fake money, and then we're going to dole it out as grants. And who gets the grants? Well, progressive organizations that paint conservatives as Nazis. So the Media Research Center, conservative watchdog group, obtained documents through the Freedom of Information Act, and it shows Department of Homeland Security program that is meant, originally was meant, to fight terrorism is now funding a group whose work has explicitly targeted the American political right. Now, I hear what you're saying. Oh, you're probably thinking already, it's like, oh, but Pete, you know, it's like they're probably going after groups that aren't even right wing or something. Wait, but hang on. Wait until you hear what some of these groups are. All right, you tell me. Prager University, Heritage Foundation, right? I mean, they're basic, right? Yeah, I mean, these are the white supremacists of today, right? These, yeah, of course they, I mean, come on. When you think Breitbart, they're actually level two. They're at level two. Because Fox News, they're at level one. Because it's a pyramid, don't you see? It's like a multi-level marketing thing. So everybody's in at the ground floor, you know, where you got to buy the kit and get in and all that. And then at the bottom there, and then you got Fox and you got Heritage. And I think Media Research Center is in that that bottom tier as well. Then you go up to the next level. Now you're into Breitbart territory. And then you're into Hitler. Like, that's the next stage. There's four. It's like Hitler's henchmen and then Hitler. Like, that's the pyramid. And it's all right there. It's like, so we're all tied together. Although talk radio, not mentioned. I don't know why. I mean, first they start talking about taking us out of the cars. Beat that back. And, well, I mean, there are a lot of people don't even know AM radio exists. There are a lot of people. Yeah, they're kids. So DHS has this program. It's called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program, or as I like to call it, the TVTPG. Anyway, they provide various funds to various public, private, and nonprofit institutions, such as universities and county governments. And they use these grants to, quote, establish or enhance capabilities to prevent targeted violence and terrorism, which makes sense because the program is called the TVGTPG. So with a name like that, of course you're going to be targeting violence and terrorism, preventing targeted violence and terrorism. They have awarded 80 grants. 80 grants, totaling almost $40 million. It was started by the Obama administration under a different name, and then the DVDPA was broadened and revamped by the Biden administration with a new focus on violent extremism and, you guessed it, white supremacy. Like Prager University. You're probably on a watch list if you watched one of Dennis Prager's videos. By the way, his dog died. That big fat bulldog, yeah. It was a cute dog. It would snore sometimes during his podcast. Those dogs have breathing problems. Okay, so anyway, one of the grantees, University of Dayton, which is in Dayton, it has a program at the college called Prevents OH. There's a dash there, or else I would call it Prevenso, but it's not. There's a dash, which I think is because it's Ohio. Prevents-Ohio. I don't know what it stands for. I don't care. But I do applaud them for actually making the acronym into a word. DHS gave them $352,000 to, quote, draw on the expertise of the University of Dayton faculty to fight domestic violence, extremism, and hate movements. And then they did a big analysis on Antifa. Just kidding. They didn't do anything on Antifa. No, they actually got a guy from Antifa, yeah, who's now leading that all of the grant effort. Yeah, he's right. That's, of course, he's the one that's going to lead the effort to root out the right-wing extremism, the Antifa guy, who sees everybody that's to the right of him as fascist. Sure, that makes sense, right? The university's grant application submitted to DHS linked in a footnote to a controversial Dayton conference where an academic researcher presented a chart that was titled Pyramid of Far-Right Radicalism. Among the organizations and movements displayed on the pyramid were the Republican Party, the Heritage Foundation, American Conservative Union, Fox News, Breitbart News, the NRA, Prager University, Tea Party Patriots, the Make America Great Again movement, the pro-police Blue Lives Matter movement, as well as the Christian Broadcasting Network. You got to watch out for them. Those Christian broadcasters, man, I tell you what. The pyramid also included hate groups like The Base, a neo-Nazi paramilitary group, and The Daily Stormer, a pro-Nazi publication. See, because it all funnels right to them. Because when I think limited government, I think National Socialist Party. Duh. When I think the individual, I think the socialist collective. Right? When I think of racism, the lowest form of collectivism. Well, of course, it's totally the same thing. Don't you see that? In 2021, the University of Dayton held a seminar called Extremism, Rhetoric, and the Democratic Precarity. Featuring several experts on extremism, who compared mainstream conservatives to genocidal extremists. By the way, what do you think happens when you tell your followers for years after years after years that that people who are of a limited government mindset and philosophy that we want there to be genocide? What do you think you're inspiring your followers to do? I know we can't call it stochastic terrorism, but what do you think you're inspiring them to do? News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. University of Dayton, Ohio. They put in an application for a grant from the Department of Homeland Security. And they in their application, they link to a video of a conference, and they describe it as indicative of the university's work to assess regional needs and capacities for violent extremism prevention and directing government evaluators to view it for more information. Okay, so you watch this thing and you see in the video, University of Cincinnati researcher Michael Lodenthal, along with another speaker who specializes in genocide, I'm not sure committing it or whatever, but comparing the Trump administration to the Khmer Rouge. because the Khmer Rouge killed 1.5 to 2 million people, as did Donald Trump, obviously. A third speaker compared Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposing a volunteer civilian military force to assist the National Guard during emergencies like hurricanes. They called that the Nazis and they're, you know, doing the Holocaust. Same thing. A DHS spokesperson told Fox News that the award of the grant money was unrelated to the seminar and rejected the notion that it supports any form of discrimination. Now, the University of Dayton similarly described the seminar as being separate from its program. A separate seminar, though, titled White Nationalism Workshop, featured this guy Michael Lodenthal, where he talked about how anti-fascists could pressure financial services, retailers, service providers, and various platforms to kick people off, promoting the deplatforming of alleged fascists, who he compared to the mainstream political right. A lot of things we're doing are illegal, he says. A lot of it involves breaking the law, he said. He described hate speech as an act of war, calling it the, quote, strategic deployment of organizational energy and power. He called for shutting down forces deemed, quote, extremist. It's not him. Do not get it in your mind that the things he's saying is extreme. No, no. To deny people that, to shut down their websites, to close their meetings, to physically prevent them from assembling in public, this is the belief, he said, also displaying an infographic of how anti-fascists can infiltrate, surveil, and disrupt, quote, far-right forces. He noted that in his, quote, younger years, he engaged in direct confrontation with alleged white supremacists, seemingly describing himself as a member of Antifa, when he said, quote, we organized largely through networks today people would call Antifa. Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking it might be Antifa. At a time, it was known as anti-racist action. They would follow white supremacists wherever they go to outnumber them and then to physically confront them and deny them the space to physically meet in public. This is the idea of deplatforming, he said. And he added at the time that he was a medical worker who provided abortion services, because of course he was, and he frequently retweeted Antifa accounts and appeared to defend left-wing violence on social media. This information that was obtained through Freedom of Information requests has now been turned over to Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, as well as the newly established Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. The Media Research Center uncovered this documentation, which proves that the U.S. government is colluding with left-wing activists, academics, and state and local officials in an active effort to target some of the most prestigious conservatives and prominent political, religious, and media groups in America, trying to link them directly to Nazis and terrorists. The American people need to know that those who are abusing their positions in the federal government will be held accountable. All right, so what is this? This is the Steele dossier. That's what this is. This is the same information laundering that we saw with the Steele dossier. The planting of the story, the use of government relying on the story in order to get government action, right? Knowing that you planted the information there in the first place, right? You funded this operation. You fund this operation. It creates then this loop. The planted story is used for the action, which then creates a story, which is then used for more action, and it becomes this loop. Not to mention, you're calling half of the country, literally half of the country, the equivalent of Nazis. And while, look, me personally, I don't give a flying fig Newton what you think about me, lefties. I really don't. I really don't care. I quit caring a long time ago. Now, the problem, though, is that I do care what your followers think. I do care what they're going to believe about an entire population of their fellow citizens. And as they get older and they take control over the levers of government, and you've embedded in them a deep-seated hatred of other people, I do worry about how they will exert their power in the future. Because what we have determined with your deplatforming, with your bully tactics, with your dehumanizing psyops, what we have determined is that you are no better than the people you claimed oppressed your ancestors. You are all the same. You are engaging in the same behavior, the dehumanizing of your political opponents. So when you guys grow up and you get the power, then what? Do we get to see some genocides? Or is it different when Democrats do it? Is it different when the left engages in this stuff? Or do we end up with just the same amount of dead bodies? Well, actually more, if leftism's history is any indication.
All right, hey, real quick. It is estimated that more than 6 million Americans have Alzheimer's. It affected my family. My grandpa had it. New research and treatments are showing promise, but there's still a long way to go. So can you help me by supporting the Alzheimer's Association's Western Carolina chapter? The Family Dance Party Charlotte's on June 10th from 1 o'clock until 5 o'clock. It's at the Roxbury Nightclub in Uptown Charlotte. Go to mix1079.com and get tickets and come bust a move on the dance floor or donate tickets to a family that's battling the disease. The Family Dance Party is presented by Jameson Realty. Again, if you can help us out, I appreciate it. Go to mix1079.com, and thank you for considering the request.